Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we celebrate two things. First, we celebrate what is perhaps the most Lutheran of Sundays, Reformation Sunday. It was on October 31st, 1517, that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the church at Wittenberg. It was not a thesis as we think of a doctoral thesis or a master thesis, but it was 95 individual points that Luther wanted the church to discuss because he felt there were errors in its teachings. That single act of questioning the church was the beginning of the Reformation. For the next 30 years, Luther preached and observed and wrote and taught. He asked questions and he searched for the answers in Scripture. And he recruited others who also taught and searched and found answers in the Scriptures. And the result of all of this writing and searching and observing was the establishment of the doctrines that Lutheran Church follows today. The record of all of those writings that occurred over that 50-year period of the Reformation are recorded in something called the Book of Concord. I don't know how many of you have heard of that. It's not exactly exciting reading, but it contains the doctrine by which we worship, by which we live. One of the documents that was included in the Book of Concord was Luther's Small Catechism. And when I say that, that reminds me of the second thing that we are here to celebrate today. Today, Taylor Jolie Vaith will publicly confirm her faith in Jesus Christ as her Savior. Last summer, Don, Bridget, Kathy, and I spent several weeks going through that small catechism. If I were to ask all of you who I'm assuming have been through catechism, how many parts are there to the catechism? How many know? Okay. Can you name one? So, in case somebody doesn't remember or can't name one, I will remind you of what they are and the order in which they occur. The small catechism starts out with the Ten Commandments and their explanations, with the Apostles' Creed and its explanation, with the Lord's Prayer and an explanation of each of the seven petitions of that prayer. Then we move on to the Sacrament of Holy Baptism, to the Office of Keys, which is also referred to as absolution and confession, and finally, the last part of the book that Luther wrote talks about Holy Communion. So what do Luther and the Reformation and Catechism and Taylor have to do with each other? Is there anything that they have in common? It was at this point in the message that I realized that I was facing a challenge. How can we bring together 500 years of Lutheranism and all its doctrines in 15 minutes? So stay with me here and let me see if I can do that in 15 minutes. The Reformation began with Luther struggling with his concern about being saved. Had he confessed all of his sins? Was there a sin perhaps that he hadn't confessed, that he had missed? And if he missed that sin and hadn't confessed it, would he still be saved? He wondered if he had done enough good works. Luther went to the confessional booth every day with a list of sins that he had committed the day before, asking for forgiveness and doing whatever he was told to do that those sins might be forgiven. And he wasn't sure. And so one day he is reading in Ephesians and he comes across these words. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. Those are about as Lutheran as you can get. Those are the words that Paul spoke to the Ephesians, and for Luther, it suddenly became clear. His salvation was not based on anything that he could do. His salvation was a gift from God to those people who believed. And that gift we Lutherans call grace. Grace, the unearned, undeserved love and favor of God. In our epistle for today, Paul repeats those words and talks about them some more. Those words that moved Martin Luther to begin to question how the church was teaching about righteousness and salvation and forgiveness. The specific words that come from our epistle lesson today are these, and I quote them from the Living Bible, which makes them a little easier to understand when they're read. But now, God has shown us a different way, not by being good enough in trying to keep his laws, but by a new way, though not really new, for the scriptures had talked about them long ago. God now says he will accept us and acquit us, that is, declare us not guilty, if we trust Christ Jesus to take away our sins. Yes, indeed, we have all sinned, for we all fall short of God's glorious ideal. Yet now God declares us not guilty if we trust in Jesus Christ, who in his kindness freely takes away our sins. In this text for today, Paul is talking about the doctrine of justification. Justification is one of those words that Lutherans throw around a lot. I want to make sure that everyone understands what justification is. Justification is a legal term that speaks much more than forgiveness or pardon. Justification means being declared righteous. That means being declared right with God. It is though we have never sinned. If you take that word justified and break it down, it comes down to just as if I'd never sinned. We've talked about that a lot in Sunday school. Let me tell us a little story that might help to amplify that idea of justification. Many, many years ago, a man in England bought a Rolls Royce. And wanting to tour France, he had it shipped to France so that he could drive it through the vineyards and through the mountains of France. And one day on his vacation, his Rolls Royce broke down. He called the dealer in London and he said, "The car that I bought from you broke down." The dealer immediately responded, "No problem. We are going to take care of that right away." And within an hour, there were mechanics en route to France to fix that car. And they did. They fixed it and made it just like new. For the rest of the vacation, the man thought, "Boy, this is going to be an expensive bill. Those guys had to fly over here, spend the time to fix the car, and then get back to England." And so he got back to England and he waited, expecting to receive a bill, expecting to receive something in the mail that told him how much he owed for having his car repaired. But the bill never came. And so he finally called up the dealership and said, "I've been looking for several months for a statement from you telling me how much I owe you for all the services that you did repairing my car." The man at the dealership said, "A bill for what?" The man said, "For repairing my car. Remember, I had my Rolls Royce in France, and you came and you fixed it." "Sir," insisted the man at the dealership, "we have no record whatsoever of any repairs being done to any Rolls Royce at any time. That's justification of a Rolls Royce. It's just as if that Rolls Royce never broke down. We are now justified by Christ, by his death, and by his resurrection. In that justification, we are made righteous. We're made right with God. We are justified. We are made new, just as if we have never sinned. God's grace to us culminates in that phrase of justification used in our text for today. And interestingly, that phrase that talks about justification is used in what's called the aorist tense. That's a fancy word that means ongoing. Justification doesn't happen just the day that we are baptized. Justification doesn't happen just the day that we're confirmed. Justification is ongoing. We are continually being justified and declared righteous. In life, we sometimes question whether or not we're really forgiven. Are we really righteous? Are we really justified? We look back at our life and the sins that we've committed and think about how serious they are and think, surely we must have forfeited our right to forgiveness by how we sinned in this world. But that's not true. Justification is a continual action. And we, as Christians, are continually declared righteous over and over again. Certainly, we will continue to get it wrong. We will stumble and fall along the way. Old habits for us humans are hard to die, and we are troubled by those sins that we have committed. But when we think about them, we need to remember these words. Jesus takes away your sins, and the only way that they can hurt you is if you take them back. Luther's Small Catechism is filled with questions and answers. Lutheranism is built on questions and answers. This side of heaven, there will be a lot of questions that we don't have answers to. But in our catechetical training, we need to know the answers as best we can and to remember that Christ has justified us in this world. And so we need to continue to catechize our people, to train them, to bring them up in the doctrines of this church, especially the doctrine of justification. Well, that talks about the Reformation, and it talks about Confirmation, and it talks about a lot of other things. Where does Taylor fit into this? Having gone through those six parts of Luther's catechism, today she will publicly affirm her faith. She will renounce the devil. She will state her belief in the triune God, and she will confess to the accuracy of the doctrines of this church. How do you suppose Taylor might feel about her confirmation today? Perhaps she will feel like a 12-year-old boy who became a Christian at a revival meeting. When he went to school, his classmates asked him about the experience. "Did you see a vision?" they asked. "Did you hear God speak?" said another. The answer to all those questions was no. "Well, how do you know that you are saved?" his classmates wanted to know. The little boy thought carefully, and then he finally answered, "Well, it's like when you catch a fish. You can't see the fish. You can't hear the fish. You can just feel the fish tugging on your line. And he continued, I felt God tugging on my heart. For Taylor and for the rest of you as well today, my prayer is that you feel God tugging on your heart, knowing that you are justified by his grace, which is a total gift from him. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.